We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
So this week my wife got sick. Was rough. We thought she had the flu. Then in the meantime, thank you, Liz. The worship leader calls and says she can't hear anything, her eardrums. Holly picked up the mantle and led worship, and Michael and Brandon and on very short notice they took care. Did a great job. And TJ's sick this morning. And man, it's been a rough season of illness. But we're glad that you're here. But during that time, I told Tracy I got ready to preach on soup. Because I made a lot of soup, because your wife's sick and you make soup. Y'all need to pray for her because I was cooking. But I made potato soup with carrots one night, and I made a couple other. Man, it was good too. I'm just telling you, I made cornbread with it. It wasn't healthy, but praise God, it was good. And so I'm looking, and I got ready to make soup, preach on soup, because as I was cutting this stuff up, the Lord's like, you know what, your life is here, because some of the stuff that I put in soup, I really wouldn't eat on its own, but when it kind of all marries together, it makes a really good flavor. And so as I was making the soup, I was like, you know what, God, life a lot of times is like that. I don't think you send bad things into our life, but I think sometimes God allows bad things to come into our life, because by walking through bad stuff, it allows us to get a different flavor and a different context on life. God never said that you wouldn't get sick. God just said that I'm your healer. He never said that you wouldn't go through financial challenges. He just said that I'll be your provider. He didn't say, does this make sense? So I think that sometimes God allows us to go through those things, not to make us worse, but to make us better. So as I got to looking at it, but then I was like, well, that's not good. I kind of like the idea of it, but I don't really, that's not really what I'm supposed to preach on. So my wife was really, I thought she had the flu. So the best place for me to sleep was on the couch. I don't know. I have not slept on a couch in a long time. Let's use the term sleep loosely. Because you can't roll, when you're my size, you cannot roll on a couch. You'll be sleeping on the floor in about 2 seconds. So the other thing is, because I wasn't sleeping where I normally slept, I left the TV on all night. Some of y'all are nodding like you're happy about it. Some of y'all are like, sad. I had forgot this, but through the night, they play infomercials. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but when you're sleeping on the couch and I am a lazy person in the middle of the night. Like, if it doesn't have to be done, like if there's a fire, I want to know how bad the fire is before I get up. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, so I was laying there and I woke up like four times and the remotes literally were like in the floor beside me. But I was like, I just rolled up. You know what I'm talking about? And I kept waking up to this. But wait, there's more. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, about the fifth, but wait, there's more. I went, I think I get what you're trying to tell me, God. You're not trying to tell me to buy the serrated spoon with the extra knife and then throw it in twice for just shipping and handling. I don't think that's what you're trying to tell me. I think maybe what you're trying to tell me is, wait, there's more going on in my life than what I realize. And that maybe in the lives of your people, we tend to think that one thing is going on when really in reality there could be something totally different. It's like this. We think that oftentimes worship just has to do with us having a relational movement towards God, when a lot of times that relational movement towards God's move other things off of our life, like we talked about in worship when we kept putting the coats on and we said, you know, one was fear and one was doubt. That as we lift our hands, as we put ourselves positionally closer to God, as you take on one thing, something else has to come off. And I couldn't help but think about 2 Kings chapter 6. Contextually, it's 8 through 16. It says this. We're dealing with Elisha. And it says, now the king Aram was set to war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. So the enemy has a plan. Verse 9, it says, and the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware of the passing of that place, because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. And time again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on guard in such places. So what happens is the enemy's trying to move against Israel. And every time they get ready to move, the prophet goes to the king and says, hey, this is where they're going to be. Well, the king of Israel will go down and he'll send a spy down. And sure enough, that's where the enemy's at. And so we look and it says this. It says, verse 11, this enraged Aram, and he summoned his officers and demanded them, tell me which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel. He said, look, man, which one of you all are a spy? Because every time I get ready to do something, this dude knows where we're going. And verse 12 said, none of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers, but it's Elisha the prophet who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. You better not. I'll punch him in his... No, you know what I'm talking about? He's sitting there and he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, he said, you're telling me that this that God is revealing the stuff that I would only talk about in a whisper. Here's the thing. A lot of times, the enemy tries to convince us that God doesn't know what's going on and what's about to happen in our lives. God said this, I know the whispers of your enemies in their bedroom. When you lay in your bedroom at night and fear begins to whisper in your ear, I knew that attack was coming. I knew it was going to happen. When condemnation and guilt and regret begin to whisper at you, I knew it was there. But wait, there's more. Verse 13 says this. He says, go out where he is, the king ordered, so that I can send men to capture him and report back to me. So the report came back and they said he is in Dothan, and they sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. And they went by night and surrounded the city. When the next morning the servant of the man of God got up and went out early with an army of horses and chariots, he surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. So the man of God and his assistant are there, and they go to sleep one night and the world seems fine, and they get up the next morning and they're surrounded by their enemy. Have you ever had that moment where you went to bed one night and everything was fine and you woke up the next morning and it seems like your whole world's falling apart, that there is no hope and there's no future and there's no promise for your life? You just feel like all you can do is give up. If you've never had that moment, I'm just going to go ahead and prepare you. It's coming. I promise, should the Lord let you live enough times going around in the circle, you'll wake up that morning where you don't know how it's going to work out. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think I have more often than I should the response of the servant. He goes, oh no! What are we going to do? You ever gone and looked in your checkbook and looked at your wife and went, oh no! What are we going to do? We got more groceries, more week than we got paycheck. We got less groceries than we do meals. If you haven't lived that long, just wait. You will. Can I be honest with you? It's one of the best, worst places you can be. No, I'm telling you, when I first got married, we were the bad macaroni and cheese broke. Not the good one with real cheese, the one where if you sneezed when you opened the pack, all the cheese was going in the air. You know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all, you know what? We were West Webb Curb when it was still $3 for $1. Can I get a witness from some broke people that grew up? Okay, anyway. So, yeah, people that are watching this overseas are going, what is West Webb? So, anyway, it is what it is. But you know what? We look back on those times, and those were the times when we really learned how to trust the Lord for our daily bread. Because we were young in the ministry and we had nothing and we had no resource and we had nothing to pull from, and every day was just it was a struggle and it was a prayer. But here's what we learned. We learned that the Lord was faithful over and over and over and over and over and over again, to where now when those times come, we may go, oh Lord, what shall we do? Where in the past it was, oh Lord, what shall we do? And hopefully I'll get to the place where I'm like, oh, Lord, what shall you do? Because what I had to learn was to wait that there's more. That things aren't always exactly the way you think they are. And that if you can keep your life in the right perspective, that you can actually chart a course to your destiny in a much straighter path. Watch this. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. This is nowhere in recorded history. It may not have happened. But in my mind, his assistant asked him if he was stupid. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You, Michael, come here. Me and Michael are together. I am Michael's right-hand man. And we are up in front. We just got out of bed. We walked out of our tent. I don't know that they were in a tent. Let's just say that they were. And we walked up. Michael said, we're outnumbered. Look at all these armies. And I walk out and I go, don't worry. There's more of us than there are of them. Did you get bit by something when you slept? Did you drink something I missed? Did you smoke something I didn't get a chance to be a part of? Because I don't know what you're seeing, but what I'm seeing, everything here looks hopeless. You can be seated. You ever felt like, man, if I lose this man, if I lose this woman, I'm just going to be alone the rest of my life? Oh, y'all got silent on that one. Have you ever been with somebody and you're like, you know, if I lose them, I'm just going to hold on. I'm going to hold on to the anchor because I'm afraid of the swim. How many single folks do we have? I just need to know if I'm stepping on your toes or if you just don't agree with what I'm saying. Okay, so how many times have we come into a place, a financial place, and we only want to look at the facts? I'll sit down with our finance guy or with our board of directors and I'll talk about stuff and I make them all nervous. We'll feel like the Lord's moving in a direction. I'm like, look, we're gonna run our funds down to this level. And they're all looking at me going, are you sure the Lord's in? And I'm like, look, there's more of them for us than against us. Because you've got a challenge of looking at your life through the natural or through the supernatural. My prayer this morning is that maybe your eyes will be open, that you can see your life and your circumstance a little different than what you really think it is. Watch this. He said this. He said, don't be afraid, for there are more for us that are with us than those that are with them. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. My prayer for you this morning is that the Lord will open your eyes to your own situation. Because if I went row by row and person by person and I asked what you really needed to see, and if the Lord could reveal it to me, what you need to see is not the same thing that you need to see. The reality of your situation is not based on what you see. You got to remember this. The Lord said this. He said that we should walk by faith and not by sight. But even as Christians, how much of our life is spent operating by sight and not by faith? Because here's what, there are two thoughts inside Christianity. Is either I'm a realist.
I have faith, but brother, I'm a realist. I know what's right in front of me, and I call a spade a spade.
Okay, well, a spade is a spade, and a club is a club, and a heart's a heart, and a diamond's a diamond. We've established that. But now, if you're saying you're a realist, are you saying that that's the only thing you base your life on? Because if that's the case, why need God? Do what you do, see how it works out. The other opposite end of the spectrum is everything's done by faith. You don't do any work. Well, that's horribly bad too. Because the Lord says that if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Put in some effort. Men got healed of blindness, and the Lord put mud on their eyes and then told them to go and wash. And as they went, they were healed, right? Now we know that there are cases of instantaneous healing. So the moral of that story is that sometimes you have to put a little bit of work with your faith. Paul said it this way. He said, you know what he said? It's not by works. You can't work to get God to do something because then you'd boast about what you did. And it's not all about faith because faith without works is dead. But Paul says, couple the two together. Don't go write your checkbook to zero so that God has an opportunity to do a miracle. On shoes and dinners out, and right? But sometimes the Lord will say, hey, you know what? I want you to sow this last little bit of, I'm sorry, in the Old Testament, he said, I want you to give your last little bit of meal. And sometimes you do everything right and bad stuff seems like it happens. So what do you do in that moment? That's when your work, don't make one stupid mistake after another. And your faith begin to couple together. Maybe you did make one mistake. Okay, now God, give me the wisdom to get out of this, but also give me some breakthrough. Let me see things the way that you see them. Does this make sense? You begin to move with me, and let me begin to move with you. So what he asked is, he said, man, if this guy's going to be my assistant, if he's going to be here, God, he's got to begin to see things the way that I see them. Let his eyes be open so that he can really see what's going on. Watch what happens. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots and a fire and all around Elisha. And the enemy came towards him and Elisha prayed that the Lord strike him, his army with blindness. We struck him with blindness that Elijah had prayed. He looked up and what he saw was not a physical army that you could see. He saw an army of the angelic hosts around him. See, sometimes God has stuff going on that you don't know anything about. Now, you know how many times people need to see an angel in their particular lives? Not very often. Because if you don't believe what God told you, you're not going to believe what he showed you. I'll prove it to you. How many times have you seen something happen and go, I just don't believe my eyes. Or if you're on social media, it was photoshopped. It used to be that people would say that they believe it when they saw it, but now people don't even do that. We've become such a skeptical generation that we have a hard time seeing any hope because there's so much hopelessness. You know, I was watching TV a lot when she was sick at night, and I was trying to find something to watch. And other than sports, have you ever tried to watch? There's no such thing as a sitcom anymore. You remember the Cosbys, and I'm not advocating that, you know, based on, you know, whatever, but Andy Griffith. The Wonder Years, when problems were solved in 30 minutes. After school specials. When you look at what our teenagers are taking in and us as adults are taking in every week in television, it's no wonder that our suicide rate is higher than it's ever been before. That teenage pregnancy and adult pregnancy and abortion and STDs and all this stuff are at such a, because we're looking at it and we're watching depravity over and over and over again. And what we are forgetting to do is look at the world around us and see what's really there. There's an attack on your emotion, on your physical, on your spiritual. You are under such a attack that if you can't have your eyes open to see the hope that's around you for getting out of it, it's easy to spin into this spiral of depression and of, does this make sense? And hopefully my prayer is that this morning you can have the same prayer and you can have that same epiphany where you go, well, wait a minute, there's more to this. Because what I did was I went to Netflix and I turned on a TV show that the theme song was a bunch of whistling. Is Andy Griffith. I'll save you. Some of y'all are sitting there going. I whistle good when they're doing it, but when I do it by myself, it doesn't sound like it. Because at about 11:30, I had looked at all the stuff that depressed me to the point where I couldn't do it anymore. Before I went to bed, there was a ball game that I wanted to watch, and it was a West Coast game, and I flipped to it. And when I woke up, it was an infomercial on. And that's when, but wait, there's more came up. And I think that you need to look at your own situation and you need to say, you know what, Lord, it's time that my eyes were open because there's more to this thing than what I thought. And it could be that the thing I'm trying to hang on to is the thing that I need to let go of so that I can move towards the thing you're really trying to do around here. I got on a Grey's Anatomy kick. I know it's late to the show. Don't roll your eyes, whatever. I like the medical side of it. I really did. I thought it was super cool. But you know what? After watching it, because I binge watch stuff. Like, I just let it play when I'm doing other work and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, I started feeling bad all the time. And I had this lump. And if you feel right back here, it, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, I'm not sure it's something. And I've had it since I was born. But I think it's gotten bigger. Now, let's see it for what it really is. What was it? The enemy trying to bring fear and sickness and worry. Because if I'm worried about what's in the back of my head, I'm not worried about praying for you. I'm praying for... If I'm trying to hang on to somebody I should be letting go of... when I was young, I tried to save a kid. We were swimming, buddy of mine, we're body surfing and at an outer bank, and it was real deep, and I'm a pretty strong swimmer, and the guy I was with was a pretty strong swimmer, and this little boy kid decided he was going to come out to the bar where we were at, and he got about halfway out, and he started cramping up. I had no life saving. I was right out of high school. I had no life saving experience, so I'm going to save him, and I swim out to him, and I grab him, and I go down, and I get him by the waist, and I swim up, and I get his head above, and he gasps, and then right as I come up, and I'm just going to put my arm around him and tow him back, he grabs him by the head, and we both go down. So we get down to the bottom, I kind of push away from him, I spin around backwards, I swim him back up, I get him a breath, and then I get a breath, and then he grabs my head and we go back down. About the third time we did that, when we went down, I spun him around, I put my foot against his rear end and helped him gain some momentum away from me. And when I went to the top, I caught my breath for just a second, he's still floundering, and I realized something. That if I'm not real careful in trying to save him, I'm going to die. Now, the good thing is I ended up getting him to shore. We kind of had a conversation, and I kind of bounced him to shore, and we did okay. But if you hang on to somebody too long, they can drown you if they're not who the Lord wants you to be connected to. If you hang on to fear too long, it'll drown you. If you can't hang on to hopelessness too long, it'll drown you. If you worry about it too long, it'll take over. That's why worship is so important. That's why having our eyes open is so important, because it could be that greatness and everything you hope for, because God said this, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Stop right there. God's got plan for you, but wait, there's more. There's more than your depression. There's more than your fear. There's more than your loneliness. There's more to it, but sometimes you've got to turn loose of something so that you can grab a hold of something else. He said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you. That sounds pretty good. Plans to prosper you. I'm digging on that. To give you hope and a future. But dude, I want you to pay attention to something. The beginning of that says, I know the plans I have for you. We do coffee here every week, right? I meet a lot of people over coffee. Can I have a cup of something? A coffee cup. That'd be great. That's fine. I'm not going to drink it. You're sick. Just being honest. Can you imagine if the Lord sat down with you for a cup of coffee? This is the best I can do. Just deal with it. And he looks at you, let me tell you the plans I have for you. They're plans to bless you and to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. So what are your plans? Plan on worrying? Plan on train wrecking? You planning on not trusting me to bring you somebody else? Are you planning on? Just what are your plans? Because we can do my plan, or we can do your plan. But we can't do both plans. How long are you going to hold on to what I'm asking you to turn loose of? How long are you going to? Definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. And we laugh at people when they do it, right? But it's hard to look in that mirror and pull that plank and that splinter out of our own eye. Every time I'm around them, I'm just guessing here. Every time means you've done it before. Every time I watch that show, I just can't sleep. You know, they always hurt me. You ever had a puppy? And you kind of shoo it away with your foot? What will a puppy do? And if it's a golden, it's going to lick you when it gets there. You ever done that to a cat? That cat will turn around and look. I don't know that cats can cuss. But I think mine think it some. It's like, oh, I got something for you. How many times are you going to get kicked by the same trick of the enemy and keep coming back to it? Romans 8:31 through 37 says this, "For what shall we say then in response to these things?" There's your question. What are you going to say in response to everything we talked about? If God is for us, who or what can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God, the dude looks at us and says this. Paul looks at us and writes this. He said, but if God's for you, who or what can be against you? Because if God gave up his own son, what else is he going to hold back from you? I mean, just stop. Think about it. He said this. He said, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Verse 33. Who will bring any charge against us, those whom God has chosen? So all that fear and that depression and all that stuff that you're fighting all the time, it's not coming from God. Because he said, if God chose you, if he died for you and God died for everybody, why would he accuse somebody he paid the price for? So if God's not doing it, my nephew has a forearm tattoo and it said, only God can judge me. But do we live our life that way? Is it God who justifies? Who then condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, he was raised to life and is at the right hand of God, also making interceding for us. Stop right there. You got to remember, who sent Christ to die? The Father, right? So the Son is trying to convince the Father to do what the Father already wants to do for you. It's like trying to talk me into buying Zach's hot dogs. I mean, it takes like, hey, you want it? Yeah. What about yeah? I've only got enough money for it. Yeah. You had me at Zach's. But can you see it in your own life? I love this. Is at the right hand of God also make an intercession for us? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep being led to slaughter. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors with him who loves us. If you're dealing with a bad hand in life, get a new hand. Get a new perspective. It's not probably going to change overnight. It's going to change as you go. But if you make a bad decision to keep things that you know you need to turn loose of in a way of thinking and let that fear and that doubt and all those things, do you know where you're going to end up? Right back here in a year. But if you go, you know what? Fear is to my left. I know what's going to happen if I go left. I'm going to take one step right. I'm already in a bit better position. I don't know how this next step's going to work out, Lord, but you've got plans for me. I'm not a person of prayer. I'm just going to be a person of prayer. God, I don't feel like I should go over and do this anymore because every time I go over there that happens, I'm going to make one step closer and one step closer and one step closer. And is it going to be hard? Yes. Yeah. But let me ask you a question. What did you ever do in your life that was easy, that was good? You ever had them, and I'm a Little Debbie's fan. You ever had one of them Little Debbie brownies with them? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, y'all are making the same face I do. I mean, you'll eat them if that's it, but Nutty Bars, cake rolls, them little white ones, all that's way ahead of it, right? You ever had real brownies? Oh my gosh. The hot ones with the little crust that goes around them and like 4 gallons of milk, you know what I'm talking about? I'm right now in my mind, I'm eating one. I'm just letting you know, it may be sinful, but I'm having one. So my question is this. Which one's easier? And which one's better? Have you ever been in a mood for a good brownie, but you didn't want to put the time in to make it? So you just sat and thought about it? Or if you're married, you looked at your wife and said, hey, honey. You feel what I'm saying? Some things are just worth what you put into them. As we come to close, here's my prayer. This is the first service of 2019. Are you going to let your eyes be open to some new stuff? A new way of doing it. Maybe turning loose of the past. Maybe getting over your past. Maybe turning loose of depression and fear and guilt. And some of these require some extra steps, and we're here. If you're walking through something, we'd love to talk to you about the situations that you're in and help you make biblical decisions on them. We love to help people. But a lot of those decisions, you already know what the Lord wants you to do different. But can you see why you need to do it different? With every head down and every eye closed, if you're here for the first time or maybe you have been in a position where you've walked away from the Lord, or maybe you don't know the Lord, but you're like, you know, I need to walk back home, but I'm not where I'm supposed to be with the Lord. Will you just slip your hand up? I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. Thank you so much. You can put your hand down. I promise I won't embarrass you. Anybody else just says, you know what? I need to make a decision to live my life for God. I'm going to ask the person that raised their hand along with the rest of the congregation, will you just pray this prayer with me? If you'd like to accept the Lord into your heart, or if you're already a believer, will you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Father, I ask you to come into my heart. I can't keep living life this way. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive me of my sins and make me right with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I believe that if you prayed that prayer, you've asked Christ into your heart. But I also believe this, that's not where our journey stops. It's where it starts. Because if I'm right with God, the God who created me, then all things become possible. Paul said, and all things are brand new. That's why we talk about being born again. It's a rebirth. It's a chance to start life over. I think sometimes as Christians we forget the excitement that comes with that. As we prepare to be dismissed, I just want to pray one more time over you, that the Lord opens your eyes and that He sets you free from the stuff you've been wearing for too long, that just like the assistant to the man of God, that your eyes are open to the world going on around you, so that you quit feeling outnumbered, that you quit feeling outgunned, that you quit feeling outmatched, and that you watch the healing and the provisional hand of God move on your life. Father, I just pray for every person that's here, man, woman, student, and child. Father, those that are going to listen by podcast, Father, those that are going to watch us online, Father, that right now just freedom and release for their lives, God, that the delivering hand of the living God just falls long upon them. Father, that even as I pray over them right now, Father, let your Holy Spirit just move in and on their life, in and on their situation. God, that breakthrough and promise just begin to flood into their life. Father, we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.